Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by ComEd. Find electric safety tips and more at ComEd.com/safety. ComEd, powering lives.
Pete Futek.
Great, with a capital G, at the highest level of grace.
Publisher of College Football News.
What is it that makes our military superior? He was like, that's easy. We're the only football-playing nation in the world.
He hates your favorite team.
Rankings don't matter at the end because they're just going to put Alabama in the college football playoff anyway.
Pete Futek on The Score.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Glenview Luxury Imports. The North Shore's newest Alfa Romeo and Maserati dealership has arrived. Visit GLIGlenview.com. They've got it. We've got Pete Futek. He is on Twitter at Pete Futek. He of College Football News has a major college football team with proximity to this city that's decided now it can't really play. Hello, Pete. How are you?
How's it going? I'm digging looking at this couch here. That thing had to have plastic on it at some point in its career before you've using it for your video thing here.
No, this was a custom thing that the wife picked out when we had this little sitting area here off the main bedroom and need a little love seat for the television viewing area. So it's not my show. I'm
tasteful.
On the,
it's tasteful. Yeah. It's you need that. It works.
It's not my show, but I'm on that show literally in this case. If you want to see Pete Futek, you can jump on the Twitch stream, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. So what's up with Notre Dame? Do they know how long they're going to have to be shut down?
No, but to take this in a positive direction from the start, this is sort of how the system is supposed to work. And as insane as it sounds that, you know, oh my gosh, this team's shutting down and this team is shutting down. Well, if you got a team that you think might not be perfectly fine, you're supposed to not play. So, okay, if there's any question mark, it's just a silly football game. I mean, if you don't think you got it, don't play. They're going to reschedule the Wake Forest game till December 12th. Now, it's a problem when you're a team like Houston, which has had like a Spinal Tap drummer issue with a schedule where every team it's played so far has had a COVID issue, and it's got postponed again this week. So they're not even going to start yet until maybe next week. So there are problems across the board in college football, but the rich teams like the SEC and potentially the Big Ten, the SEC is going to do the NFL-style stuff where they're going to put monitors on these guys for contact tracing. They're going to test them more. They're going to make sure the SEC football goes off. But some of these other schools, not so much. But again, look, if they can't play, you can't play. In a world where we don't have a really reliable test yet that everybody trusts or a vaccine yet, if you're going to try to do this, look, if err out of caution. If you can't do it, Notre Dame, okay, that's just how it works. And everyone else who thinks they can do it and is all right, go out there and go for it.
But what does this mean as far as eligibility and thresholds for a college football playoff? Something that already is, by its nature, controversial and subjective and debated. Now, if you have teams playing an uneven number of games, or say, yeah, well, they got that win, the quality of that win is diminished because they were playing against backups because their other good players had COVID or were contact tracing. Like, how can they even begin to figure this out?
It's the problem with my sport is that the you're having a playoff based on a judging panel, and you can't earn your way in necessarily, and that's an issue. But now the College Football Playoff Committee actually has to do some work. Before it was like, all right, and there are a couple calls here and there, but really we're deciding between is it Ohio State or Alabama, like. Okay, you know, not that hard, not that many crazy calls out there. This year, they're going to have to actually look at the teams and go by the body of work and come up with the four best teams that they think belong in. Now, if they just want to do this based on talent, we already kind of know who the four best teams really sort of are, so let's see it all get sorted out. But on the field, with everything that's happening so far, I think I mentioned this to you before, I want to have that argument where we have an undefeated Sun Belt champion and undefeated Big 12 champion, and I want to hear from the Big 12, give me on merit your argument why your team belongs in over a Sun Belt team. So there is going to have to be something about this, and look, keep your car on the track. You know, those teams that can't play, it's just going to have to be part of the judgment. But then we're going to go into all-conference play here pretty soon. There's not a whole lot of cross-pollination non-conference games to deal with. We didn't get to see Ohio State play Oregon or Michigan play Washington and things like that. So it's kind of hard. So we're just going to have to basically judge on what the conferences are going to be doing.
Talking with Pete Futek on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. What do you think of how the Big Ten schedule rolled out? There are some people, Nebraska, crying unfairness.
I don't want to hear it. You know, that's a lot of chirping going on for a mediocre 5-win program at this point. And look, you wanted to play Nebraska. First, Nebraska was never, ever, ever leaving the Big Ten. The Big Ten's the biggest bad boy conference out there. It's bigger than the SEC, alumni base, money-wise, everything else. Fine, you want to leave Nebraska? We're going to go get Texas. We're going to go get Oklahoma. Like, the Big Ten can pretty much get anybody it wants outside of the Alabamas of the world. So Nebraska was never, ever, ever going to leave the Big Ten. So they're just kind of chirping a little bit. And they're just not that great. But, okay, you wanted to play. You wanted to play Nebraska? Go for it. Now, their schedule doesn't actually change all that dramatically much from what it was originally supposed to be. They could break something tasteful over the idea that Wisconsin's missing the big boys and gets Rutgers and gets Maryland. But look, you wanted to play Nebraska, okay? Go play Ohio State, go play Penn State, be good at football again.
Pete, do we know if some of these locales that are turning into hotspots? Like Happy Valley being one of them, as far as the percentage of cases, and looking at a rise in so many college towns themselves, is that fact affecting big football in any regard? Is anybody taking it more seriously now? Like, look, these kids aren't listening. It may be somewhere else now, but it very likely is going to be us very soon. You know, how concerned can they be? Or is the horse out of the barn right now and nothing? And no positivity rate, no outbreak is going to be enough to stop college football?
Yeah, no, a couple different things to that. It's the arguments that are going out there where, okay, is it the fault of the college kids who are being college kids, or is it the fault of the colleges for not being like, what, really? We thought the college kids were going to be ultra-responsible and sit in their rooms all day? It's, you know, so there's that, and then there's the college football side of this where, okay, the rest of the world might be on fire, but if this college football team in their little environment, I don't want to say bubble because they're not in a bubble, but in their little world, they're hyper-focused on, okay, don't go to that, hang out at that thing. Don't go hang out with other people. And you're able to test. You're able to do all this stuff. College football is just going to kind of steamrolling on. Look, this started right out of the gate. North Carolina had to go all on online anyway, and students were doing everything remote, and the football team had practice the next day. So the hypocrisy and craziness of all this is, you know, out of the, you know, just insane. But college football is just saying we're going to keep on motoring on no matter what. And look, so far, most of these teams have been able to keep everything pretty okay. And even when they're not okay, they isolate the guys who are infected, and then they just keep on marching. But at the moment, they're just going to keep on cranking this out.
The dynamics are so different than professional sports that have not only guys who have collective bargaining rights and who have signed contracts, they also have a lot of money. It's their job, and many of them have families, and yeah, they want to adhere to these protocols to keep them safe as well. What I picture is if you've got 80 guys on your roster the bottom of the roster, they're never going to play. They know they're never going to play. They're just practice fodder. How do you keep those guys in the, look, we're doing this as a team? You know, I know they're part of the team, but they don't really have the same kind of commitment. If they say, you know, maybe I'm going to go out to a bar, but yet they're in the same weight room and they're in the same locker room, even though they're just not as important. The caste system on the rosters has to matter.
But it's not even that. The star players are screwing up. Look at what BYU had to cancel its game because, you know, its star players. Now, have fun with this. BYU had, what was it, like gambling night or whatever it was? Like, the stars are doing it. Memphis got on a party bus after they beat Arkansas State. It's almost, to your point, though, you almost have to treat this like the concussion issues, where as long as the players, without the collective bargaining, without the agents, as long as they know what they are doing, they're choosing to play. They don't have to play. They can keep their scholarships and decide, you know what, we're not going to play football this year because we're opting out because we don't think it's safe. They are, for whatever reason they're choosing, they need to know the risks and then play anyway. Now, the problem with that, though, is they have to rely only on the schools themselves, that they're going to do them a solid and make sure that they're keeping them safe. Whereas, like you said, in the pros, you're relying on very high paid people to collectively bargain that say, hey, there are people looking out for me on my behalf to know that I'm going to have the best case scenario. So the players just have to rely on the idea that, hey, look, even from just a real slimy standpoint, they need us to be healthy so we can go out there and play so we can generate the money. Outside of that, they're just flying blind here.
This segment with Pete Futek is brought to you by Burlington Stores. Have you been back to Burlington lately? Your store is restocked with unbelievable deals on amazing brands you love. Hurry in today. Amazing values are arriving every single day. Whether it's back to school, work, or just back, you'll love Burlington. Burlington, love the deals. What's actually happening with Deion Sanders and Jackson State? Because he is the coach, and he's taking it seriously. And it does, all of a sudden, the names were surfacing of a coaching staff that involved Terrell Owens and Warren Sapp. And then they pushed back and said, no, that's not true. Because it looked like they're just begging for a reality series.
Pretty much. He's getting the best people. Yeah, exactly. So, but Deion Sanders is Deion Sanders. He's not going to be the guy who sleeps in the office and watches 25 hours straight of tape every day and does all the crazy things head coaches are going to do. He's Deion. Yeah, but he's into football. He's got the great football mind. He's got the name. He's, you know, a legendary player. I don't know if that translates to actually being a college football coach, but he does mentor players. He has been a coach and a consultant to players. So we'll see how that sits. But he's going to need assistants who are going to sit there and do nothing but grind. Warren Sapp, Terrell Owens, they're not going to do that work and sit there again for little pay at Jackson State and just grind it out. But Deion wants to be a big-time head coach. He wanted to be the Florida State head coach, and so he's paying his dues, and let's see if this actually works. But it's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, because there had been, correct me if I'm wrong, there had been an idea floated regarding the HBCUs, the historically black colleges and universities. For all it's going to take is a couple of great players to decide, instead of Ohio State, I'm going to go to Grambling. Or instead of Michigan State, I'm going to go to Jackson State or go to Howard. And what that could do for the money for the programs, for the profile of the programs. And I sort of saw this hire as maybe possibly catalyzing that movement.
A little bit. More than that, though, it's going to be the idea of maybe they're going to play in the spring, because now they're going to play FCS games in their championship in spring ball, where there's going to be a focus on that then. Forget now that the FBS teams aren't going to be playing spring ball. They can have this all to themselves, and they can do what the Big Ten originally was talking about, the Pac-12 was originally talking about, and move to spring ball. And then you get the higher profile when there's nothing else happening football-wise then, and you have real college football to a certain extent, which, look, you know, the average fan's not going to really, you know, get into it too much, but the gambling crowd will, so there's always going to be an audience for that. And at least you get a spotlight now instead of being buried like you would with the Ohio States and Michigans of the world once they start up.
Yeah, you mentioned the gambling crowd. Think about the chaos that you're going to have in line setting on some of these games, coming down to kickoff and
how about
knowing
now
it, right.
it is It is the most insane. It's guessing. I crushed it last week. I mean, I went 12-1 against the spread just because I went with all the under. I mean, you don't know. None of these guys are in shape. You don't know. Some of these schools, now they're not being dirty about this with as far as like not telling the players, but they're not necessarily telling the other teams who's healthy and who's not. So they're getting that competitive advantage because they don't have to release, you know, which star players aren't going to be playing this week. So the lines are just completely whacked out. So, this year, it is the craziest years ever for lines makers. And look, if you are one of those investors, if you're a money line guy, you are just, you know, dabble just a little across the board, and you're rocking and rolling this year with college football because it is absolutely insane. No one's ever seen anything like it.
Yeah, not to mention, as you bring up the injury information, that you have coaches who don't want to share the number of positives of COVID, the amount of testing that's been done. I give a lot of credit. I don't know much about him, but Missouri's head coach, is it Eliah Drinkwitz?
Eliah Drinkwitz, yeah.
Eliah Drinkwitz, he said, and bless him for it, he said, I'm going to share all of the data that we have regarding COVID because this is a public health issue. And rather than, he said, any advantage that we may have competitively is trumped by a responsibility to the public. And those, I wish that what he said was amplified more in the college football community, because good for him.
And that's one of the schools that's blowing up. I can tell anecdotally of people I know who have it, who go there. So and Missouri's just gone crazy with it. So he kind of has to do that. Now, on the other side, it's the wacky thing about college football is now Drinkwitz isn't announcing his starting quarterback until he runs on the field against Alabama. Alabama's like, ooh, you know, you're going to, you know, hold this from us. But they have four guys who could potentially be the starter. So that's the difference between college and the NFL. You don't have to release your injury report. So there's some competitive advantage, but you're right. This is bigger than that. You've got to release all the data and all you can, but coaches are going to be head football coaches.
Pete Futak, continued good health to you. Thank you.
Anytime, Dan. Have a good one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.